My dear friends, for those of you who might not know me, my name is Father Cepeda. I am the pastor at Our Lady of the Snows in Denver, and I'm here today for a Sunday Mass because we are preaching the retreat for men. Because of that, I would like to embed this sermon. It fits for both the retreat and the Passion Sunday, and I would like to embed it in the series of talks that we have been giving to the men. Yesterday in the morning, the last talk that I gave them, I was mentioning to them all the things that are necessary to follow Christ. We were going through the life of Christ from his birth and thinking of how we need to practice, especially the virtues of poverty, obedience, chastity. Today, as we approach Passion Sunday and we start considering coming closer to the Passion of our Lord, we can start thinking of how we ought to follow our Lord on his cross, how we ought to follow him to Calvary. Indeed, our Lord made it very clear that we needed to follow him. Protestants will say, accept Jesus as your Savior, and that is enough. And it's interesting because if you know, Protestants, as much as they claim to be biblical, I don't think you can find a quote where our Lord says, you need to accept me as your Savior and that's it. Or not even accept Jesus as your Savior. However, our Lord did say, he that does not take his cross and follows me, he's not worthy of me. It is very clear that our Lord does not expect us to be mere spectators. He wants us to follow, to take our cross and follow him. Today, my dear friends, we will consider how we can follow our Lord on the Passion. Think of this: when our Lord suffered his Passion, at first, he was assailed by three great powers. He was assailed first by false religion, false piety. Then he was assailed by the rulers and powers of this world. And then he was attacked by the debauchery and the depravation of this world. That was Caiaphas, Pilate, and Herod. And we can follow our Lord there. Our Lord goes to the house of Caiaphas, and all these men with the appearance of piety, with the appearance of true religion, mock him, give him blows, spit at his face, and they say, prophesy, who is it that struck thee? These are the men that are admired by all, the mainstream, you could say, of religion. Yet, they did not have true religion. They did not have true piety. They were not concerned about the law of God. They were concerned of their own fame and glory. How do I follow Christ? My dear friend, perhaps you have never thought of it. You follow Christ right there to the house of Caiaphas. When your Protestant friend mocks you because you are not eating meat on Fridays, you follow Christ there to the house of Caiaphas. When your friends tell you, your novel sort of friends, you're schismatic, you're a heretic, you're a Protestant. Why? Because you won't accept the errors that we want to teach. We are the mainstream. We have the power. We have the churches. How will you not follow us? Because you are teaching error. As our Lord said, if I followed you, I would be a liar. Therefore, I will not follow you. But we are the majority. I follow Christ. But they will spit upon you. I follow Christ. My dear friends, you didn't know it. But every time that a person in Facebook unfriends you because you will not follow the heresies of Vatican II, every time that this person with 20,000 people behind them tells you, oh, you're so rebellious and proud, every time that you suffer persecution for your faith by those who have the appearance of faith and goodness and piety, every time that you suffer that, you are following our Lord right there to the house of Caiaphas. We follow our Lord also to the praetorium with Pilate. When we suffer indignities, persecution, the trampling of our rights by the government sometimes, but also at those times where you know that you have the truth and yet you are ignored. Our Lord goes there to the praetorium Pilate sees clearly that he has the truth, that he is innocent. He condemns him, nevertheless. But then when the time comes, Pilate asks, "What is the truth?" And he doesn't hear the answer. He leaves, he ignores it. "Quides veritas," he says. "You also follow our Lord. You didn't know it, perhaps. But at those times where you are in the middle of a dining room, in your gatherings in the family, and you know full well that you have the truth, but that no one will listen. When you tell perhaps your son, perhaps your wife or your husband, or your brother or your sister, you tell them, 'This is the truth, here it is, it's very clear.' And they say to you what Vatican II says, 'It doesn't matter. We all have the same God. We are all our brothers. It doesn't matter if you're a Buddhist and you follow this fat man that died of an indigestion. You can go to heaven. It doesn't matter if you are a Muslim and you follow this murderer, politician, a thief. You can go to heaven following him. It doesn't matter if you're a Lutheran and you follow this apostate priest. You can go to heaven. We're all good. It doesn't matter. Quid est veritas? Where is the truth? We all have our opinion.' At those moments when you have to be silent because you know you will not be heard, or you speak and the truth is not heard, yes, you're not alone. You're following Christ. You're following Christ there to the Praetorium of Pilate. We continue following our Lord now to the house of Herod, a place of corruption, of debauchery, of drunkenness, of perversion. What does our Lord do there? He shuts his eyes. He will not speak a word. He will not hear anything. He seals himself to everything around him, because that is the filth of the world, and he will have nothing to do with it, him who is absolute purity. Do you follow Christ there as well? Yes, you do. Every time that you say to your children, 'We cannot watch this movie,' 'But everyone watches it.' We don't. We're not part of this world. Every time that you, as a young person, a young man, a young woman, your friends say, 'We're going to go to this nightclub. We're going to go to this party over here.' And you say, 'I cannot go. Why? My parents won't let me.' And they mock you. You're following Christ. Every time that you, as a man or a woman, say, 'This is an occasion of sin. I will put it away forever,' you're following Christ to the house of Herod. And like him, you're shutting your eyes, you're shutting your ears, you're shutting everything from you. You will have no contact with this corrupted world. 'But they will mock me, Father, if I do these things. They will mock me if I say that I cannot go to that party. My children, they will shout at me. They will yell at me if I tell them they cannot watch this movie.' Ah, those dreadful moments when you're dating someone and you've been dating perhaps for a few months and you're wondering, 'How am I going to tell this woman that she needs to wear a veil when we go to Mass on Sundays, or that I go to the Latin Mass?' When you're dating someone perhaps for years and you tell to yourself, 'How am I going to tell this man who is telling me that we can only have 2 children that I don't believe in birth control?' Those dreadful moments when you're perhaps walking in the street and you get a crowd of crazy liberal people shouting at you saying, 'Rights for this, rights for that, free love,' and you feel persecuted like the Christians did at the first moments of the church. Those dreadful moments when you're in Thanksgiving dinner and you hear someone saying, 'We should support abortion. We should support, you know, everyone to do whatever they want. All these agendas that are being pushed.' And you say to yourself, 'I am among enemies.' Those dreadful moments, what will I say? Will I be mocked? Will I be left alone? If I say my beliefs, they will shun me. But you're not alone. You're following Christ. You're right there with the Agnes, with the Cecilias, with the Stevens, with all those martyrs that gave a testimony for their faith, following Christ, yes, with your own cross, all the way up to Calvary. But my dear friends, I fear that I am giving you very difficult perspectives, and you might be thinking, Father, you are giving me quite a difficult thing here. You're telling me to go follow our Lord, to go all the way to Calvary, and you are only giving me like the tough spot. Well, yes, it's true. I could not ask you to do these things if I don't give you a good reason to do so. And I'm going to give you a reason. I'll give you the best reason that there can be, the best motive. What is it that makes a mother risk her life to protect her child or to give birth to him? What is it that makes a man risk going to jail for the rest of his life to protect his family? What is it that makes a woman have the confidence in a man to say, I'll give you my whole life, even though I don't know what will happen in the future, I give myself entirely to you? What is it that makes a young woman cut her hair, hide her face under a veil, mortify her speech, and say, I will become a servant of all of these people? What is it that makes a man say, I will be alone for the rest of my life, forever bent to serve others, never to serve myself, and wear a black cassock? You know the answer to these things. It's love. So the reason that I give you today to follow our Lord all the way up to Calvary is love. No one has loved you as our Lord Jesus Christ. No one gave 33 years of his life for you. No one else has had his hands nailed and his feet fixed to a cross and his head destroyed by thorns for you. He loves you greatly. He made you. He created you. He has watched you all throughout your life. So why follow all these hardships? You follow them, you follow him, because you love him. That is our main reason to do so. We follow him also to the scourges. You might say, Father, how do I follow him to the scourges? Do I need to scourge myself? No, that's something I only told the men for the men's retreat. And it wasn't an order, it was a suggestion, I must say. No, the best way we can follow our Lord to the scourges is obedience. Obedience, yes. I'll say more. The obedience part is the greatest part of the scourges. How is that so? Let me put it this way. If our Lord had suffered those scourges, but he had been resisting and moving and complaining and trying to get away from him, you wouldn't be edified. What edifies you is that our Lord said, here I am. He put his hands, he bent his back, and obediently he submitted to the punishment. Where is that in the gospel, you might say, Father? I don't read that in the gospel. You read that in the words of our Lord that the prophet Isaiah gave us. He said, this is our Lord speaking, the Lord God had opened my ear. He gave me instructions, and I don't resist them. I have not gone back. I have given my body to the strikers and my cheeks to them that plucked them. I have not turned away my face from death that rebuked me and spit upon me. So when do I follow Christ? You, child, when your father tells you to go and plow the snow or to take out the trash and you really don't want to do it, but you do, you are following Christ to the scourges. What a great thing to do. You, girl, that your mother tells you perhaps wear this skirt, don't wear that piece of clothing, don't put your hair like that. And if you follow, you obey, you're following Christ to the scourges. The sister, when they tell you go kill that rat in the basement. Or the wife, when your husband tells you we should not go to this gathering. The husband, when the priest tells you should not treat your wife like that. Or you should have more time with your family, and you obey. You're following Christ to a little thing, to a great thing. the obedience of the scourges. I don't want to make the sermon too long, and it's going too long already, but the message, my dear friends, is clear. We follow Christ indeed as we ought to follow him with our cross. When we do our daily chores, when we become a good Catholic, when we follow the duties of our state. But how can I finish, how can I not add to this sermon the part of the cross? And here I will stop following our Lord for a moment, and we will go back to your life. Because at this point, perhaps, you might say to me, Father, it is hard. You've lived your life as a good Catholic. You've gone to confession. You go to communion. You go to Mass on Sundays. You fought against the world. And this is your own stations of the cross, you could say. You fall along the way. You get up. You have your Veronicas that help you, that cleanse you. You have your Serenians that help you carry the cross. But now comes the time where you're nailed. Your hands and feet are nailed to your Catholic, to being Catholic. And it hurts at times, and it's difficult when your friends mock you, when all those things that I mentioned happened. And you might say, this is too hard. I don't know if I can take this much longer. I don't know how to persevere. And your body starts shouting. The part of your flesh starts shouting out. It's almost like it's saying, this hurts too much. If you are the Son of God, help me, take me down from the cross. That is the bad thief. It is your body shouting and complaining. But the bad thief said those things because in him love did not prevail. What must you do? Your body is saying those things, but let love, the love for Christ, prevail and do rather as the good thief said. Now, my good Jesus, I have tried to follow you for all this time. I have fallen along the way repeatedly. I can see now that I cannot carry the cross myself. I don't have the power unless you carry it for me. I have lost all confidence in myself. I can see that I don't have it in me unless it comes from your grace. Therefore, my good Jesus, is not on my merits, but in your grace that I put all my confidence in your mercy. And Lord, I wish to follow you, but I am unworthy. I wish to follow you. I am a sinner. I ask of you only that you remember me when you come to your kingdom. And my dear friends, that love is going to give you perseverance. And you know what comes next. When things get really rough, when it becomes very difficult to be Catholic, when it becomes difficult to persevere or to do your chores or to face sin or temptation, to whom do you go? Our Lord said it. Behold your mother. To her do we go to persevere. As you continue then with your own way of the cross, all the way up to Calvary, and especially during these 2 weeks as we prepare for the end of the Lenten season and the commemoration of the Passion of our Lord, let us remember these things and make in our hearts a resolution. I will follow Christ to his passion out of love. Today I tell you to end the sermon those words that the Apostle Thomas said to the rest of them on the Friday, on the Gospel of Friday. Let us also go and die with him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.